Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tram. We are going to be learning today the halachas of Bracha Rishana, the bracha said before having the meal. In our learning today, which is going to be in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun, the 50th chapter of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we're going to be looking at five different concepts. The first is the requirements for Bracha Rishana, number two, interruptions, number three, tasting, number four, unnecessary brachas, and finally, changing of locations. Let's jump straight in at the very top. Our first concept is the requirements for Bracha Rishana. There are 10 basic questions here. Is there a minimum shear for a Bracha Rishana? The answer is no. Even the smallest morsel of food requires a Bracha Rishana. This is not the same as a Bracha Achrona. A blessing said afterwards is only if I have a certain amount to eat. But any amount that I'm about to imbibe requires a Bracha beforehand as well. This is because that the world belongs to Hashem, Hashemayim, Shemayim, and Hashem, V'aretz Nasan Ibn Adam. But that's one pasuk. But the other pasuk says that La Hashem Aretz Umnoya. Hashem has everything and the world, everything that's within the world. So how can it be both Hashem's and ours? Is it giving it to us or not? So it is viewed, as the Gemara explains in Brachos, Hekdesh, holy. Everything in the world is considered holy until we redeem it. How do we redeem it? We ask permission, or we redeem it with a bracha. And therefore, any morsel requires it as well. Can I just say a general bracha like Shehakol and anything I plan to eat? The answer is no. Each food has a specific category, and one is required to thank and to ask permission specifically when one says that bracha. Next question, what if it's not clear what the Bracha Rishana is? So, in that case, it's best not to eat that outside of the context of a seuda. So, meaning to say, if there's an unclear item, have it as part of a meal where I don't need to say a bracha at the beginning because there was bread. And the second best is to say shakol on such a food if there's no way of finding that out. Do I need to hold the food? The answer is yes. A person should be holding the food in their right hand before saying the bracha. This is quite common that people don't know this. They just sort of say a bracha and then they start fishing around with their fork on their plate. That's not the correct way. You should have it ready to go, because oftentimes things fall off. One doesn't get what one wants, and then the bracha is invalid or there's a significant break. Do I need to know what bracha I am saying when I'm starting? And the answer is yes. When you say the name of Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, at that point in time, a person should be aware of the bracha one will be finishing when one says Hashem's name, when it's connecting the dots here. What if I am not holding the food? And it's on the table. Is it a right for the bracha then? The answer is b'di'eved, in a post-facto reality. Then yes, the bracha is chal, does cover anything which is in front of a person. What if it's in front of me, but it's in a bag or a wrapper? So one really needs to remove it from the wrapper or the bag before saying the bracha. However, if one said the bracha and it's in an unwrapped state, one can unwrap it and still the bracha covers it. What if it is not in the room, but it will be brought to me from another room? So the Kitzur says that in such a case, this would not work, even if one intended to get the item from the next room. One should not be saying a bracha, and it won't work on something in another room. In this case, Mishnah Berurah is a little bit more meikel and says that one can be yotzi b'di eved, but this obviously should be avoided. What is if I forgot to make a bracha and just put the item into my mouth? So if it can be spat out without being disgusting, so let's say one popped a nut in one's mouth and one hasn't started chewing yet, but then one can just put it into one's hand, say the bracha and put it back in, because you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha. But if it's something which cannot be spat out without becoming disgusting, one should move it to the side of one's mouth and say the bracha and then continue chewing and swallow it. Now obviously that's less desirable, because then one's mouth is not full with the praises of Hashem, it's semi-full with food and one speaking as well, which is less desirable. What about drinks? So they cannot be spat into the hand or moved around on the side of the mouth because they're liquids. So if there's more to drink, then spit out what one has so one doesn't benefit from that, and then say a bracha on the remaining liquid. If there's no more to drink after, so that one took a gulp and that's the only gulp there is, then one should swallow and say a bracha immediately afterwards, so the bracha rishon is coming right afterwards without any interruptions. Which leads us to our next concept. Let's talk a little bit about interruptions. 8 basic questions when it comes to this concept over here. Generally speaking, what we're talking about is what's called a birkas hanenin, a bracha based on the benefit that a person is having in this world. And there should be no interruption between the bracha being said and the enjoyment of this world that is about to follow as well. A few basics. What if I said a bracha on a food in front of me, and then it fell and we got destroyed or was disgusting? So I said a bracha on the coffee, I drop the coffee, it all spills over the floor, there's no way of putting that back into the mug. So if there's more food in the table on the table in front of me that is has the same bracha, so let's say I drop the coffee, it spills everywhere, but there's cheese on the table, then the Mishnah Berurah said the bracha does work on the remaining food that was generally in front of me. The Kitzur is actually a little more machmir in this case, and it says that the bracha only worked on the things that one had in one's hand, and not the remaining things, and therefore one would need to say Baruch Shem Kavod, and one has lost their bracha, and one needs to say a new bracha as well. Generally speaking, people generally paskin like the Mishnah Berurah when it comes to this. Does that mean does that mean until I actually swallow it or have it in my mouth? When does the bracha need to be chal? When does it fall? When is it executed? So it's only when I am swallowing it. And so chewing is not the mitzvah, so therefore can't be, which sometimes you'll see people do. They'll say a bracha, they'll throw it into the mouth, and then with their mouth full, we'll carry on talking. That's not right. You say a bracha on the enjoyment that goes into swallowing, not just putting in one's mouth. Now, what if I spoke between the bracha and the eating? What do I do? So in that case, the bracha has been lost because you have now bifurcated between what you just said, Hashem's name, relating to the food you're about to eat, and then you start to talk about something else and the activity. So therefore, one would need a new bracha. That's a significant loss in using Hashem's name in vain. What about answering a davar shebikdusha? Let's say I hear somebody say Kaddish. Can I say Amen in between? The answer is no, not even for that. What about a break of silence? So technically speaking, one should not break for silence except for a need. But if one does, even for a long time, one does not need to repeat the brachos. Can you give me an example of a silence which is allowed? So let's say one wants to eat a fruit and one wants to say the bracha on it full, which is one of the requirements of saying a bracha on something which is in a state of fullness. But then one wants to cut it up in order to be able to eat it. So I'm going to say the bracha, cut it, and then eat it, if that's the case. What if I need to check for worms? So in that case, let's say I have a date in front of me and I need to open it up to check for worms. That I should really do. I should break it open to check before I start the bracha. What if I want to pour out a few drops because of there's a concept called Mayim Ra'im, bad waters, or just because it's hot? So when should I do that? So that should be done before the bracha, because otherwise it looks like a bizayon of a bracha. You set a bracha and you pour out as if the bracha had something deficiency to related to it. That would not be appropriate. Okay, let's move on to the next concept. The next concept is tasting. So we're going to look at the 6 basic questions that relate to this. Do I need to say a bracha in something which I'm just tasting? So it depends. If it's being tasted and spat out, so I'm just putting a touch of the soup in my mouth, and I'm going to spit it out, no bracha needed. But if it's being tasted and swallowed, then it's more questionable. It's best to eat a proper size a bite to require a bracha rishona. What if I need to eat something being for its medicinal properties? So it depends. If it tastes good, it gets a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. But if it's bitter, then it has no brachas whatsoever. What if I swallow a raw egg? I'm doing this because of my voice. I want it to be that my voice is going to be smooth. So because the egg actually does provide sustenance, a bracha is required. What happens if I need to consume a non-kosher food for a life-threatening situation? So it has the properties necessary to sustain me, and I'm in a situation where I need to, whether it's medicinal or starvation. In that case, one says a bracha on that item because the Torah says, v'chai bohem, you should live by them, which means that in certain cases, one needs to consume non-kosher food to survive. If I swallow juice or bread to help me swallow something that's in my throat, do I need to say a bracha? The answer is yes, because the bracha is even on the tastiness of it. What happens if I'm using water? In that case, no, there will be no bracha. And the most classic case of this, of course, is if one is swallowing a pill and one is using only the water to swallow it down, one would not need to say a bracha rishona on that water at all. Let us go a little further. Now we're going to now talk about unnecessary bracha. So there are 5 basic questions here. If I have a nut and an apple in front of me, may I say a bracha on each of them? They're both borei priyates. The answer is no. Since they're both the same bracha, one cannot say the bracha twice. That would be a bracha sheina tzricha, unnecessary bracha, which is to be avoided. Which one should I say the bracha on? Of the two, the one that's more important, the one that I want more, should be the one that's said on this in this case. What if I said a bracha on the less important one? So then one's intent was on the more important one certainly as well. It covers it. If one had no special intent, the important one was not covered by the default bracha and needs its own new bracha. So one has to be careful about what one's thinking, not to have to revert to default with the intent. What if I have two different bracha categories? Can I do the more general and catch the more specific? So for instance, let's say I have a shehakol and a borei priya adama. Can I say a shehakol on both of them? The answer is no. Let's say I have a adama, which refers to something which grew from the ground, but it's not in a tree, and then I have something which grew from a tree. So let's say I have a carrot and I have an apple. Can I say borei priya adama, something which is the fruit of the ground, and refer both to both of them? The answer is no. One needs to do use the more specific one to the smaller category first, and then go downwards from there to the more general. What if I have grapes and wine in front of me? Can I say borei priya gefen, the fruit of the vine, and cover them both? Because after all, grapes are the fruit of the vine. The answer is technically, although borei priya gefen can cover the grapes that are intention, but it is best not to have kavanas as such and still say borei priya eitz on those grapes. We're going to close off today with our last section, which our last concept, which is changing of location. The general rule is that when one changes one's location, when eating something which is not bread, then when one changes the one's location, one needs a new bracha rishona in the new location. So a few basic questions. We're going to look at 8 questions and close us off today. Do I need a new bracha achroina? So let's say I'm in the middle eating an apple. I move to a different place. I need a new borei priya eitz. But do I need another bracha achroina on what I ate first? The answer is no. The bracha achroina I will say at the end of the apple in the new place will cover both the eating in the first place and the second place. But I'm just eating the same thing I was eating above. Does the first bracha need to be repeated? The answer is yes. Even if it's the same apple, I'm halfway through the same apple and I move to a new place, I need a new borei priya eitz in that new place. What happens if I just went out and in? Right? So I just walked out and I walked in. So the answer is that becomes still a requirement of a new bracha, even if one returns to the same location. What about someone leaving the group and the group remains behind? So I run out to do mincha. Do I need to say a new bracha when I come back? The answer is no, because the group retains one's place, a sort of placeholder that one did not have lose one's kfios, one's established in that place because of them as well. What is considered a place change? So for this, it needs to be leaving the room or leaving the house. What about moving around in one big room? That's not considered a change of place. What about if the room is so big that I can't even see where I was from the new place? Still not considered a shinui makom. And finally, last question, what if I'm in a garden with many fruit trees and I want to pull off an apple from this tree and an orange from that tree? Do I need to say a new bracha on each one? The answer is it depends on the garden. If the garden was fenced in, then it's considered like one room. If the garden was not fenced in, it's not considered like one room, and then one would need a new bracha on each one as well, because it's like changing places. With this, we conclude the very fascinating halachas of a bracha rishon. Have a wonderful and meaningful